run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
I don't understand why there are seasons where there have been miracle after miracle. I love reading where everyone that came and requested was healed. And I choose to believe that God is the same today as He was then. And so don't ever try to convince me that the Word of God is not the foundation of our faith. I stand on that absolutely. And I want to encourage you to make a decision to believe what God has to say. I recall it was the resurrection season. It was in 1992. It was after a very serious accident that I was involved in, declared dead, left on the road to bleed to death. It was following that I was in Mark Memorial Hospital at the time, and we had a lot of events scheduled for resurrection season. And I was in and out of consciousness and not really able to manage thoughts really well. But I remember one thing the enemy kept saying to me: what if you're never able to preach again? And you have the same enemy I have. What if Andrew doesn't walk and talk and shout hallelujah? What if you don't get your eye? What if Cynthia isn't raised up out of the chair? What if? And the enemy will throw this stuff at us. I remember laying there and just sensing that, you know, I was on all this stuff. I was broken all over the place. And somewhere inside of me there was this action and activity of the Holy Spirit that just rose up. And I remember just thinking this and then speaking it out loud: if the only voice I have is a whisper, I will whisper as loud as I can that Jesus is Lord and He is my healer. Well, what if you don't get better? What if you die? I will whisper as loud as I can, Jesus is Lord, and He is my healer. And I will stand on God's word regardless of what I'm looking at and what I'm feeling. And I want to encourage you to be men and women of like faith. Men and women of like faith. The lady that came one morning said, "Will you pray for my husband? He's terminal." I'd never seen them that I remembered before. And I heard the Holy Spirit saying, "Remember, we're all terminal here. She needs to know that because her husband could outlive her." You know, sometimes we're looking at one situation and so I'm trying to figure out how to, of the Spirit, share that. And Then she said, I want you to pray for my husband's total healing. And then I sensed the Holy Spirit gave me the next message, and it was, the total healing takes place when you step into glory. Total healing is not here, it's there. And so then I'm thinking, Father, how do I share this with this precious lady? She came for prayer for her husband, but actually I sensed that God was wanting to minister to her even more than her husband. And so I shared that. And so when you're asking for total healing, keep in mind what that means. Because she wasn't asking for total healing, she was asking for total relief. I want my husband to have total relief from this situation. Because total healing would have been a trip home. Any of you still in the house? I want to encourage you in the Lord to have faith that stands on the Word of God during the midnight hour. Because God is alive. God is alive. Well, we're going to talk about praise and worship this morning. And we're going to do some more of that this morning. Because sometimes I think maybe if we do it, it might help us to understand it better than just talking about it. And I want to thank Sharon for a very nice Thanksgiving challenge that she shared, and we'll find a place to share that, Sharon. That's going to need to be done. Have any of you caught any of the royal funeral? Doesn't that sound silly? A royal funeral? Did you watch any of the people coming by? All the things the people did as they, some walked by like after 12 hours or 20 hours, like nothing was going on. Did you notice that? My wife said, look at those people. It's like they don't even know what's going on. Well, maybe after you waited 20 hours, maybe I wouldn't know what's going on either. But I could see them, you know, just some just walked by like stoics, you know, as if they were robotic and they had no clue what was happening. And then there were others that were obviously emotionally totally connected with what was happening. It was very solemn and very quiet and really quite a powerful statement being made. And some were moved to tears. Some were crossing themselves. Some were throwing their arms up. Some were bowing. Some were kneeling. A lot of different things were taking place. But as I was watching that, I kept hearing this song. And I grew up with hymns. Some of you may have as well. Some of you may not know this hymn. But it's entitled, O Worship the King. I don't know about you. I don't question their freedom and right to do whatever they want to do. I looked at all the fancy poopah with the soldiers and feathers and colors, and it looked to me like toy soldiers lined up. You know, I'm looking at it just seems unreal. But as I looked at all of that, I thought, we have a king that deserves so much more. Than we often give. Worship, praise. Someone said, oh, well, what's 12 hours? She served us for 70 years. And I don't know how old you are, but however old you are, God has been sustaining us from the womb to the tomb. God sustains us. I guess, I mean, we come to this in the series that we've been going through, because it's a season to rise and build. But I'm confident that following going to 2 Chronicles, because we were there last week and we looked at that and we're familiar with that. Verse 13, at times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or I might command locusts to devour your crops, or I might send plagues among you. And then this is the verse that so often in our men's group, Dylan will repeat over and over, and it's so important, the challenge. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And we don't want to read these words too fast, because they could just be words, right? This isn't meant to be a quote on the wall. It's meant to be a lifestyle for the church, I believe, to not just have an experience of repentance, but to have a life of surrendered repentance as we continue to follow. And so then, understand that many times the repenting part, the then part of God's people has followed difficult times. And though we're blessed this morning, these are desperate times, I believe, in our nation. So the prayer, we know, most of us could say it at least in part and get the whole message out. And we like the part about, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. And so this morning, I want for us to move to what happens as that is happening. And part of what happens after that prayer of repentance is there is a sense of reverence and awe and respect and worship and praise that automatically comes out of the hearts that have repented. Because a repentant heart is moved to focus on the awesome, unmerited favor that God gives to us and has given to us and blessed us with. My wife and I, we were talking about mercy and grace and love. Some of you grew up with a lot of condemnation and law. Aren't you glad that God so loved the world that He gave? He gave His one and only Son. God so loved. My wife, we were just talking, and she said, you know, for so many years she struggled with that concept of constant condemnation, 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 and thinking that she didn't deserve God's love, and she didn't feel like she was loved, and she didn't experience that, and it was hard. And I believe she could speak to this better, but I believe at times it's still hard for her to receive that love because there was so much critical, judgmental ministry that took place. So yes, repentance is, maybe the churches years ago had it a little more right, where they would schedule throughout the year seasons of just seeking God. They called it revival. We're going to have revival. Now, you can't just schedule a revival. God has to show up for there to be a revival. But we can schedule a date to seek God. And we can pray that revival comes. We can pray that an awakening comes. We can pray that that happens in us, right? And so maybe that was a good thing, because on somewhat of a regular schedule, we knew that we were going to bring in some kind of a fiery evangelist. What do we used to call them? Hellfire and brimstone preachers. I don't know where they all went. We still have, there's still a hell and there's brimstone, right? So we still need the fire of God, and we need the powerful messages. I remember as an unsaved young man saying, oh, this is all emotional stuff. It's to play with your emotions. But I'll tell you what, God used everything in His arsenal to awaken His people. And when you talk about that, you know, it can be kind of unnerving. But that is not to be separated from the fact that God loves you passionately in spite of who you are and what you've done and where you've been. God loves you passionately. And the reason why He's kept you alive and preserved you and blessed you is because He loves you. I'm confident that God did not create me to populate hell. That was not His plan for you either. So coming out of days of saying, Lord, we need revival. We need to repent. Our nation needs to repent. And the great intercessors, if you read their prayers, they all prayed for their people. In fact, they sort of accepted the sinful condition of their land as a part of their personal responsibility. And when they will say things like, I have unclean lips, I'm from a family of people with unclean lips, you may read that and go, oh, I wonder if they've been swearing real bad, right? Well, I'm not sure that their language was perfect, because none of our language is perfect, but I believe more than that, it was the heart to say, I live in this generation and I have a burden for this generation. So repentance, yes, it's personal, but it's also a call to a corporate move of God, and we need that. And so we will continue to have justified cause to pray that way. But coming out of that, there should be a heart of praise and a heart of worship. And I want to call you in that direction this morning. I want to take you to Haggai 1, chapter 1. Haggai 1. We were there last week. We were there the week before. And last week we were looking at the scriptures that had to do with rebuilding the temple in the earlier part of the chapter, 3 and following. And I want to just read this morning, beginning with verse 12. And I want to go through verse 15. Now, if you have a study Bible, if you look at verse 15, is there anyone that has a date, a month and a date in your Bible? Ready? Yes. What do you have? September 21st. Does anyone else have a study Bible that has something like that? September the 21st. There you go. So that places it in history. But on the calendar, what we're reading about is like now. This time of year. So then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of God's people. This is verse 12. Reading from the New Living Translation. The whole remnant of God's people obeyed the message from the Lord their God. Now that's revival, right? I mean, if everybody obeys the word of the Lord, that's a revival. And that's pretty great, because that's why God revives us, because he wants to bless us. He wants to show his favor upon us. And he wants us to be his people that are righteous and pure. Well, everyone obeyed the message from the Lord their God. It had been delivered by the prophet Haggai. And for anyone that ministers the word of God, when you read something like this, the people obeyed the message that was from the Lord, that was delivered through anyone of you who ever share your testimony, and you're aware that God is speaking through you, it is a humbling thing to realize that God, who dwells in the heavens, chooses to use us. I've had conversations with some of you, and anytime God gives you an opportunity to speak on his behalf, you are his voice. It's powerful. Oh, I know, some say God doesn't talk to us, but he does. For those who don't understand that, then okay. But I hope that all of us can understand that God not only speaks to us, but he speaks through us. And so it's very important that we are available. This is part of what the revival is. So we are cleansed, and we are a vessel that has ears to hear and a heart to receive and a mouth to be able to speak what God wants to say. And when God is able to use us like that, then God is able to touch the hearts of people who are listening. And what it says is they all obeyed. They didn't obey the prophet. They obeyed God. So you and I both were all delivery agents for God. Pretty high calling. The people whom the Lord their God had sent. Haggai, who the Lord their God had sent. And the people, now the New Living Translation in verse 12 throws a bit of language in that I want to use this morning, and your translation's probably going to say something a little different, but the New Living says, and the people worshiped the Lord in earnest. Now your translation may say they feared the Lord. Anybody have feared in your Bible? Yeah. So it's not the kind of fear where you're afraid to talk about it, or you're afraid to experience God. It's not that kind of fear. It's the kind of fear that you have huge respect for God. And in your heart there is this response of devotion, that it's like an ocean of devotion that comes up out of you in response to who God is in your life. And so when I look at this passage, I like the word worshiped. And I think sometimes we get maybe a little confused and say, well, you know, I'll hear people say, I really like worship music. And then someone else will say, I like praise music. And so, you know, if you think about that and go, okay, well, what's the difference? There's praise, there's worship. And then the praisers will say, well, you know, I like to raise my praise. I like to be a part of the jumping praisers. And my wife and I, we've talked about this some. She wasn't at the Bible college when I was, at that time when I was quite young. But we actually had a revival that was a jumping revival at Hope Sound Bible Church. I don't hear anybody talking about it. I'll talk about it because I was there. And Happy John was there, and the Frenches were there, and Dr. Heron was there, and a lot of other people were there. But the jumping revival was, there was such a move of God. No one orchestrated it. Nobody came and said, you need to jump for joy. There was a supernatural move of God, and people could not stay connected to the ground. It was an amazing thing. I was not a Christian at the time. But I remember watching all of these students on the left side of the front of the church. There was this big area. And in that area, all of these students who were jumpers would sort of be corralled into that area. And they would all be over there jumping, 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 jumping. And then I came around Pentecostals and I saw jumping, 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 jumping. And I thought, oh, well, that's what was happening. They were being ignited by the Holy Ghost. And there were these elderly ladies that didn't jump real high, and they did something like a whoop, whoop, whoop. Now, some of you didn't grow up in church where any of this happened, but I'm telling you, when God began to move, it was an awesome thing. And sinners began to come in from the neighborhood, not because somebody knocked on their door, but because God was arresting their hearts. And I'm praying for, again, a return of God that arrests the hearts of the lost in our cities, in our nation, in our neighborhood, and in our family. Not just a head prayer. But a heart transformation. What happened to me at 15 years old was not a religious thing. It was a life-changing, powerful transformation that happened in my life.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible.
Awesome.